This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to this Deep In Sessions. This is Triple Z and we've got Dave Martin here in the building. Welcome, Brooke and Trevor and the rest of the crew. How are you?
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Good.
Excellent. Hopefully, you've been having an amazing weekend and doing all the things. I'm sure you have. I have some questions. Are you ready?
Let's go.
I hope so.
All right. So, Trevor, you found a name, date month of year, on a hospital admission form. If your music was a patient being admitted to a clinic today, what would its symptoms be? And what unconventional treatment would it be prescribed?
The symptoms, oh my goodness. The symptoms might be narrowness of vision.
Interesting.
And the treatment, I think I'd prescribe, depending on who it is, might be just induced coma, perhaps. Or perhaps being a bit more positive, just might be some fresh air and some sunlight, perhaps.
That's good for what ails you, apparently. I think, yeah. No.
Vitamin D.
Interesting, but I'm sure we'll dig on down into that. Possibly later. So you said that in Day One for Year, commitment is defined by contribution in a world obsessed with permanent lineups and till death do us part, band contracts. Why is a revolving door actually a more honest way to make art in the 21st century?
Not quite a revolving door in our situation, but that's a way of looking at it. It's more along the lines as if you study any of where it goes wrong for bands in particular, historically speaking, the signing on the dotted line for, you know, the gang against the world is invariably the source of immense troubles of all sorts. And you're locked in to something, and you know, they equate it to being like in a gang or being married, and you add the whole financial aspect of it, which is where it really starts to go.
Very true.
And I think the easy way is for people to get distracted from making a musical and an artistic contribution.
Yeah, so kind of taking all the bureaucratic business kind of annoyance, lawyers, suits, everything away from the equation, yeah?
Yeah, so the two models really for me were Miles Davis and Robert Fripp and King Crimson. In both cases, what they did was they invited people to be part of the organization and they stayed for as long as they stayed. And so that meant the music evolved naturally in a way, and it also meant like you weren't in, you know, like once you're in for life sort of thing. I think that's very, very narrow, and it, you know, can limit people. And with this heaps of examples where it's gone wrong.
Very true. And heaps of examples where it's tried to go right and it has to a certain point, but then it's completely like gone under. Like, for example, Factory Records. Great example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tony Wilson was like, well, we don't own any of the rights. We have no contracts, so you can F off if you want. And so they did. But some of the best art was made.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And I couldn't imagine anything worse than being like, say, in the Eagles or New Order and going on stage with people who actively are fighting with each other, like fist fighting with each other. It's like, why would you do that? I don't know how you can make music or any creative art in that atmosphere.
Yeah, very true. And you can look at the antithesis, arguably, which is Fleetwood Mac, right? You know, so they all hated each other and imploded several times, and then drugs and everything on top and superstardom, and they just kind of went to a certain level of hell. So so I see the relativity of it. I like it. And so you once challenge filmmakers to create videos for your music with the strict rule of no shots of the band allowed. Yes. If we stripped away the faces and the personalities entirely, what is the DNA, the specific smell or texture of a DMY song that remains?
I don't know. And that was part, that experiment was part of the search, was like the idea of a reverse soundtrack. So you throw the sound out, remove the personalities or as much as possible of the contributors, and then the filmmaker had free rein. And I think it's an ongoing search, and I'm still searching. So I couldn't honestly tell you about the DNA because I think I'm still looking.
I really like that. That's really cool. You know, coming from a filmmaking mindset, which I am, I'm a director, you know, it'll be quite liberating. You know,
yeah, I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. I really like that. So your 843 project dives into a studied melancholy of the 1970s and 80s New Zealand. If you could send a single DMY track back in time to play on a transistor radio in the 1975 Hamilton suburb, how do you think it would be? It would change the local atmosphere?
I doubt it would change anything at all.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. in part, some of the sounds in the 843 thing have got to do with the sounds I listened to growing up, but I don't know if the lyrics would impact. You know, when you're singing, like you're singing about Parkdale Place in 1975, well, it had only just been built.
True.
So you're looking at a nostalgic place that's still full of young kids and stuff. So it'd be a very weird.
It would be strange. Like it'll be kind of like, you know, what do you mean? Hold on. Parkdale Place has only been here for a year. That's like,
you know, why are you nostalgic?
Why are you talking about all this stuff? Maybe there'll be a loophole in the Matrix. Do you think? Maybe that would, like, you know, kind of bring forth.
Now you're
this,
talking.
I don't know. It could be this whole
time traveling
metaphysical. I know. It could be
alternate realities. I love it.
Maybe it could, like, you know, like sort of implode on itself and birth this new creative undertone that, like, spreads out like a virus. Who knows?
Maybe it did happen, and that's why we're called Hamiltron, City of the Future.
Yeah, this is true. Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Now, there's definitely themes of, like, time travel and that idea of, you know, what would you say looking back if you were speaking to your younger self or... yeah, that kind of odd feeling that comes with time on the earth where you can reflect and be like, oh, that wasn't all that there was. So, yeah, like Parkdale, looking back and saying, these are the days that we lived. But, like, when you're living them, you're just getting on with business, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, this is unremarkable, but then... through the gift of hindsight and the rose-coloured glasses, it becomes a thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, over-romanticised, perhaps. Yeah, I guess that's what a lot of nostalgia is, where you're like, oh, you remember all the best bits.
Yeah. Like, the music back in 1992, you know, was amazing, and it's not like today, but was it? Is it better then? Is it better now? Was it even a thing then? I mean, I've got many examples where at the time I was like, no, this is the future, or no, I don't really care. And then, like, later on, I'm like, oh, it's amazing. And really, was it? It's just our subjective. It's our filters.
Eh? Yeah. I personally never subscribed to that it was better back in the day. Never. I mean, it's nonsense. It's always good. It's good then. It's good now.
Yeah, 100%.
I discover everything on a weekly basis, and I just love it.
Yeah. I'm the same as you. I'm always on the next. You know, I don't like to live in the past. The past is there for a reason, right? So it was amazing then. And, you know, if you're stuck in it, you're not going to push forward into the future. That's what I think, anyway.
Well, there's a line in the song 843, one day this will all be years ago. So that's kind of a, you know, it's not a bad way of looking at things.
So that's very apt. I really like that. Yeah, I'm liking a lot of things, but I love what you guys do. So that's why I'm saying I like a lot of things today with you.
Thank you very much.
So your music has lived in two very different worlds, a cinematic Death by Shovel, and a performance with the Trust Waikato Symphony Orchestra. Which extreme, the gritty violence of the film or the prestige of the orchestra, actually feels more like the real Date Mafia?
Oh, all of it. Without a doubt. Just to clarify the death by shovel, a lot of our stuff initially was licensed to movies and TV and what have you around the world.
That's huge.
And I found there was a scene in a local movie called Luella Miller. And at the end, spoiler, she gets killed with a shovel. With a shovel. And it's one of our songs as a soundtrack, and I was just watching it going, okay. But that's what happens with licensing. It just could end up anywhere. So that's the... but that's part of it. They're doing the thing with the symphony orchestra. They just said, can you do it? And I went, yeah. So I did all the orchestrations myself, and it was so much fun. I'll do it again in a heartbeat, but I'll do all of it again in a heartbeat. So it's all part of it, I think.
And what would have been an amazing experience. You know, like I've been privileged to go see many Aotearoa bands and some international bands that have, you know, bridged the gap between their chosen genre and also widening the audience of symphony orchestras, and it's so cool. Like, how was that experience for you guys? How was it, like, you know, coming from a band, you know, grinding away, doing your things like as a band would, and then going to that bigger stage and working with more sort of like diverse musicians? How was that?
It was only me at that point. Mm-hmm. It was a whole different lineup, but it was great. I mean, what we had was a really sympathetic conductor. So I was drumming, and him and I understood. You know, like normally you might have a conductor who'd be a bit more didactic about tempo and stuff, and he wasn't. So him and I just kept an eye on each other. So there was a lot of communication going on between me and the conductor.
Wow.
And so he didn't get all weird about the tempos and stuff. And so if I sped up a little bit, maybe I did. he just went with it. And of course, the orchestra had to follow on.
True.
So it was good. Wow. Yeah, lots of fun.
Wow. That's super cool. I'm losing my place. I'm just too excited today. Oh, gosh. So your track Numbers explores how we are all reduced to mortgages, rent, data. If date, month, year were to stage a peaceful protest against the tyranny of the digit, what would the protest signs say and what would the soundtrack be like?
My protest sign would say, hey tangata, hey tangata, hey tangata, which is nice. That whakataki we use in the video for Numbers. That's the antidote, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So that's what's the most important thing in the world?
People.
He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. The people, the people, the people, which is absolutely correct.
Yeah,
and that is a great antidote to this digital commodification of our culture and our lives, right? So, you know, I like it. So you described Date, Month, Year as a way of making music rather than a band. If the traditional rock band model is a rigid skyscraper, what kind of architecture is Date, Month, Year? Is it a garden, a shifting sand dune, or a temporary pop-up gallery?
Oh, it's a garden. Oh, yeah, garden, for sure.
And what do you think, Brooke?
I was thinking maybe like a food truck.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. Food truck with like a menu that you can like text in what you want.
Nice.
And then we'll be like, we're going to put that on the menu next Sunday or something like that. Yeah, and we do tacos one day. And it's like, it's changing. It's kind of amorphous.
Amorphous garden-y food truck.
I really like that.
I really like that too. That's really cool. Great minds collaborate and think alike, apparently. Since the lineup is fluid and the genres are ever-changing, what is the one golden thread that must exist in a piece of music for it to earn the title of a Date, Month, Year song? What is the one thing that you would never allow in the mix?
Never say never.
Always say always.
Kinda. Songs will live with the group or they won't, and that's kind of, it's a feeling thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I write heaps, and there's the stuff we do, and it works or it doesn't, and if it doesn't work, you know, collectively, stop doing it. That's what I think. And you know, because there's always more to write. So, yeah, it's a difficult one to answer that, but that's how I look at it. It's just it's kind of like throwing creativity at a wall and see what sticks.
True.
And if the group runs with it, the group runs with it. If it doesn't, well, then it doesn't.
But ultimately, you're the one who, like, monitors the wall.
I suppose, yeah, I do.
We kind of, like, it might be that the idea will be presented to the group and then we'll kind of riff on it. And then at some point, someone has to be the one to be like, let's keep that, let's not keep that. And, like, we have voices in that. But ultimately, I think if you didn't dig it, Trevor, it wouldn't be.
Wouldn't be a thing.
Stick. So I would say the answer is Trevor.
Trevor is the answer.
It hasn't happened. It hasn't really happened yet, though. Not that I. Oh, maybe it has. I don't know. You just never say no. I mean, doing stuff in an acoustic format. We only started doing that what 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just see what it's like, and it was fun. It was really good. It was not something that it necessarily occurred to me as something to do. It was just like okay. And it did, and it worked, and it was, and we still do it now. It's fun.
What? Yeah. Let's dig deeper into that. So you know, as a rock band, you know, you're kind of playing for the wall of sound. You want.
Wait, did you call us a rock band?
No.
Oh my goodness.
As I'm saying,
I couldn't see the inverted commas.
Inverted. You know, you're going for the wall of sound. You're going for presence. You're going for all the things, right? So, that transition into in a way and more into the acoustic sound. Now the sonics are very different, right? So you need to play with the room, you need to play with each other more, arguably. So let's expand on that. Like let's go into how you guys show up for each other and how it feels, and when you're creating, what that looks like.
It feels easier acoustically, I think, because there's a lot less filters. So you like when you strum a guitar, the sound is the guitar strum.
True.
And yes, you probably have to listen more because it's quite immediate and you can work with that. But like in terms of like how we work together, we face each other in rehearsal, so we can kind of keep eyes on people. So if someone's leading a portion, we can kind of read what they're doing. So, you know, there's lots of body language and eyes that we use between us in rehearsal, I guess. And occasionally you'll just kind of have a little debrief in between and then jump back on a bit and try and, like, find a solution to how we can make it work better. But, yeah, I guess, like, it's a good way to refine the songs because you're not playing with all of the different sounds of like that you can use a pedal to create. Yeah, so in a way it's kind of stripped back, it's simpler, and that kind of allows us to explore, I guess, the melodies and the riffs and the harmonies in different ways. So
that's really cool.
And the rhythms, I feel like often Trevor will have a whole different rhythm set to acoustic sets.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
because you know, for percussion, it's more sort of like the washiness and the kind of like, you know, the syncopation rather than the balls out. Sorry for but the big beats and the big, you know, fills and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, have you found that, you know, you sort of go down some really sort of more altruistic pathways rather than being really formulaic, like, you know, because as a rock band, right, you sort of have the chorus versus chorus. Chorus versus chorus, and then you sort of go for the guitar solo, arguably depending what genre. But do you guys find that you can sort of just kind of like go around and through and come back to like another idea, a flavour, a colour easier?
Yes, is the short answer.
Yeah,
and we kind of build it in, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the format, like there's definitely been times when, you know, there's a set structure to the song, and when we get to this part, everyone goes off and cruises around the garden,
cool.
Inverted commas. Yeah. And you kind of, you know, you noodle
or
about.
Or is a different side on the track.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's usually format based. So depending on what tools we're working with, we want to play with them in whatever way works for us best, I guess. So, yeah, like using loop pedals for me, using different guitar sounds for mark, yeah, that sort of thing. And I guess like playing with the different percussion, like finding different beats to play with initially can be hard when you're like, we're working with the same songs, but we're kind of reimagining them when we do it in a different format.
How do I do this differently? Oh, God.
Yeah. It's a fun challenge.
I love that. I absolutely, the idea of having, you know, like just having a snare drum on a and brushes, you know, well, how the hell do you make something cool? I love it.
Absolutely.
You can tell he's having fun when occasionally you have to just be like, I don't know where your downbeat is. Like, he's having fun with all the other beats, just not.
On the perimeter. Well, I did have loads of quick fire questions, but we are running out of time, so I'm just going to fast forward a bit. So, if a pie could be a form of, if a pie could be from a particular date, month, or year, that would be a pie that would best articulate date, month, year, sound. What date of what year would that pie be from, and why is this date, month, year more important than others, and what even would that pie sound like?
I'm confused. I'm going to give it to you, Trevor.
I thought maybe I'd go on a pretentious line and go, well, we're talking about a pie or a flan or perhaps a quiche. That's my way of trying to duck the answer. Oh, I'm not sure. There's something with lots of taste in it. Lots of taste and lots of substance. That's what I would like to think. And from a time, I don't know, but those are the key elements that I'm coming back when it comes to a pie, really, is taste and substance.
Well, you did way better than I could ever do with that horrific question. I'm so sorry.
That was wild. Thanks. It was fun.
Kind of hungry now, though.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hungry too. Brooke and Trevor and the crew, thank you so much for being here. It's been amazing. I can't wait to see what happens in 2026. I can absolutely know that it's going to be you're going to like ascend, and it's going to be amazing. What you guys do is fantastic.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Shall we kick into some music?
Why not?
All right.
Hey, we are Date Month Year, and we've got some songs for you.
Dancing with Machiavelli's ghost. It's a hidden feast that hurt the most. Taking a holiday on hope. The lifeline hangs at the end of the rope. Supermarket queue on a Saturday. Open and up is full highway. the greyest disguise. You show me where the path lies. Wait for the sound of the thunder. And in the battlefields of our minds, we storm through the front lines. The weekend lasted a summer.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Okay. Just want to see.
Streetlights throw the light. fresh, young, and hammered from a standing start, lying awake and silent, a heartbeat apart, lifetimes of future perfect to calibrate.
This is me starting, eh?
Yes.
Island, I'll miss messages say.
Okay, Bowen, this is me, eh?
starting? Do I start? Yeah.
The tales we tell. Of Pardee, yeah. These are the days.
Team.
Yeah.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.